T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And now, another episode of Rochester Peace Theatre.
Hello and welcome back to another super excellent edition of Rochester Peace Theatre, the first one for the 2018-2019 season over at Jiva Theatre. I'm your host, Justine Page from Justine After Dark on WBEE. I love every year, I'm noticing a trend, they make some very smart moves at Jiva where they tend to bring a musical in to kick off each year. The past 3 years that we've been doing this have been hilarious. This one takes us kind of sort of back in time because we had Spamalot 1 year, and this we had In the Heights last year, and now we have Hair, the musical, which, trust me, if you don't recognize the name of it, you would know the songs in a heartbeat. It's this groovy, love-filled, statement-making movement of a play is the only way that I know how to describe it, to be perfectly honest, because I was like, how do you describe this? How do you tell people who haven't experienced Hair what it is? So I'm really bad at describing it, basically. So I'm joined in studio today by David Andre, who's in the ensemble, and Lawson Young, who plays Jeannie. Guys, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having
Thanks for having us.
I have to say as well, which when Dawn emailed me saying that you guys were coming in, I was like, thank you! Oh my God, they're so much fun! Yay. Sorry, I got really excited. My husband even got excited too.
Good.
And no, I love it.
Because you have certain scenes that I was like, this is my new favorite scene. No, this is my new favorite scene. No, this is my new favorite scene. And it always involved you too. So I just want you to know.
Oh, well, thank you. It's really sweet.
And so Lawson plays Jeannie, who, do you guys actually want to do me a favor? Because I'm so bad at describing it, and you've been so entrenched in the whole ideology of the play, you know, being a part of it. Tell me in your words how people should view this play, you know, kind of give me an overall idea about it, if you don't mind.
I mean, one way I would describe this show is protest. I think there's a large portion of the show that does format into some sort of protest, and it's not that you would catch it straight away, but you know, if you were to see the show again, you could kind of differentiate, oh, I can see how this section could see if be a form of protest,
right?
You know, because we're speaking up a lot about certain issues, not in depth, but you know, we speak about it and we make a statement about it, and this is like, here it is.
Right.
This is it. Take it or leave it, you know, kind of thing. You know?
Right.
Yeah. But it's also about hippies and about love and about being generous with each other and about being generous with the world and with ourselves and about the universe. There's this really great dramaturg packet that we got where it said that the original writers of the show, they said the show is about the universe.
And wow.
I didn't know that because this is my second time doing the show, and I didn't know that before, but knowing about that now gives me like a different perspective on, you know, how to do the show, or how to, not that there's a right way to do the show,
right,
but like, you know, how to approach the material, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And that it definitely comes through, because the nice thing about the way that the play is set up is it's very inclusive. There's not really a fourth wall. The cast members are wandering through the audience, which if you've been to it or not before, it's still always fun to see. And the way that Jiva's set up anyway is that you're so close. I mean, they're not just like, they're not in the front area. They're in the upper section wandering down. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, there's people like that aren't dressed in normal clothes. You know, normal being a very
That was really important
term.
To our director and to our tribe, which is what we refer to our cast as.
Yeah.
You know, that the audience become part of our tribe. And I do think it speaks again to what really the show is about, in the sense that it is about love and inclusion and freedom. And I think the best way to set the tone for that is to quite literally send love to the audience and include them immediately.
Right.
And give them that freedom of, oh, this, we are one with this cast. This is going to be an inclusive,
like, easy breezy kind of experience.
Yeah. And that way the protest is not, because the show is a protest, David's right, but that it's not out of anger or it's not pointed, but it's join us, be a part of this. It's the inclusion of the audience helps, you know, it becomes something positive,
right,
as compared to look at all of the hate and sadness in the world. Mm-hmm. And we never wanted to do anything out of anger.
No.
So it's really cool the way that one simple thing being in the audience has like turned it into this big love fest.
And it does. It really is so much fun.
Yeah.
And there's a few other ways that I want to go with this conversation too, but I must say I do, you know, I always read the pamphlets that they give out and I always keep them because I'm a pack rat. So I have like every single one I've ever gone to.
I do too.
And my husband's
like, all my playbills,
always,
like,
yes,
everything.
Everything. And my tickets. Like it's a little, it's a bit much sometimes. But so I really liked in this one because I didn't know one of the original writers was from Rochester, which is always so cool to learn.
Yeah.
But also just the excerpt that's in there that describes, you know, what the whole ideology behind the origination of the hair was and then how they related to today and how there's a lot of parallels that you can draw between the whole universal protest of, you know, and making sure it's about love and it's about respect of humanity. It was so fascinating to read and be like, oh yeah, you're really right. This isn't just a hippie play. This is so relative to today. And it's kind of like, you know, I always go into stuff not trying to read as much into it. I like to experience it as if I'm brand new to it. Always. Except for Spamlot, just because I couldn't, you can't really get by that one.
Right.
I watched it all in high school. So I knew what I was like expecting and I'm sitting at the edge of my seat. But for this one, I had never seen the play.
Okay.
And I had never seen the movie all the way through.
Okay.
So I just kind of let it alone. I didn't look into any of it. But so I went in with no real clue about what was going to happen other than a few songs, like the beginning and the closing and the beginning and the ending. Like I knew those songs from the get-go.
That's what most people know.
Exactly.
But I think that's great. Like I also love going into shows without knowing, but I feel like this show in particular could be a little bit jarring to go into without knowing anything about it and knowing about what's happening today. And then thinking about like, wait, but they wrote this show in the 60s. How is this still so relevant?
And it's so bizarre to think of how universal those themes really are.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, I mean, not bizarre, but it's so, it is fascinating. And it is really, it's moving really to kind of experience it. And I, you know, true to form, every Jeeva play, I cry. And I cried at this one too, because you're just
how
like
many
you.
Times?
At least twice. I cried a little in the beginning because I was like, Aquarius is my favorite song.
Yeah.
It was so, I mean, I got chills listening from the get go and I was like, and I could probably go home now and I would be happy and be like, hair was great and I would never have to worry about it again. But I loved, you know, every part of it was so good. And, you know, Melissa Rain Anderson, I have like this weird, like local director, you know, she's like in my hall of fame of people that I'm just
as
like,
she
I respect
be.
You so much. But she is phenomenal. So what's it been like to work with her? Cause I know a lot, it's really cool too, you know, cause I'm a stalker and I went to college at Brockport. So I know a lot of people who've come in from our local SUNY school system, excuse me, the college, State University of New York colleges have come in, whatever. I went there when it was SUNY. So I always read like where everybody's from and there's so much of the cast that's so new to Jeeva, which is really, really cool for me too. So what's it like working with Melissa and kind of getting to know the Jeeva Theater and all that? Cause we hold it so near and dear to our hearts here in Rochester. We just love it so much, but what's it like working for you guys coming in and working with, you know, the cast and the crew?
She is just unmatched in my opinion. I mean, she is also in my Hall of Fame and, I didn't know Melissa before this experience. I met her in my audition and, the way that she has welcomed in me and everyone else to her tribe. I mean, it's really profound. She's so smart because she casts so well.
Yeah.
And she literally casts people that are just true to who they're playing in the show. And so then she lets her actors do the work because she has cast well. She's yeah. brought in people that are going to show up and do the work. And so she lets it, you know, create itself naturally. So nothing you ever do feels, you know, everything you do feels authentic. It's,
yeah.
it's really lovely. And yet she made such a point that we were all on the same page about every moment mm-hmm. in the show mm-hmm. as a tribe. So that at the end of the day, at least we knew what we were saying.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then that's up for audience interpretation. And she wants them to have their own experience. But right. at least we were on the same page collectively about what the story we were telling was.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Jeeva is...
Incredible.
I mean,
I love it.
We have been so taken care of from top to bottom.
I feel so spoiled. Like, it's been so great.
The audiences and the freedom they give to Melissa, they trust her and she trusts us. And so it's this like big community of trust and love and art. And it's so cool to walk into that theater every day and just feel really nurtured.
I remember like during rehearsals thinking like, I'm not getting any notes. Like, is that like, is anything I'm doing like ever right? Like, is it ever right? But then the truth is like, yeah, like as long as it's true to you and true to the show, like, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You know, you can't really go far from what is authentic to you.
Yeah.
If it's there, it's there. And she, oh, one of the things that she kept telling us is that, you know, the whole show is like in this room. It's with in here. It's in us. And mm-hmm. like, you know, what she was saying, they cast us so well. Like, and I'm realizing that now you talking about it. I'm like, yeah, like the show really isn't anywhere in the room besides in our hearts and like within us. Like we could do the show outside in a park and it would be just mm-hmm. as brilliant, just as well done. You
it
know
would
what I mean?
Be so true to the nature of the whole place.
Yeah, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
Wouldn't it?
Awesome. Yeah.
And there's like a park right across the Jeeva Theater.
Yeah, what is it? Martin Luther. Washington Square.
And there's Martin Luther.
Yeah, so it's okay. There's two pretty open spaces, which are really beautiful.
Which like, if there's a beautiful day, I wouldn't mind doing it out in the park. Like honestly,
Dawn, let's do this. Let's make it happen. We need that. Like, we need like what do they call them? I can't even think of the name right now. I'm pregnant, so I have pregnancy brain. So I'm losing my mind.
I feel your pain.
Yes, you do. Yes, I was going to get to that because it's one of my favorite things to watch the whole time. I was like, trust me, girl, they don't move that way.
I know.
Oh my gosh. Oh, but it was such, there was a lot about the show because like I said, I hadn't done any reading into it. My mom has seen it and I didn't talk to her about it until after, but my husband knew more about it than I did. Mm-hmm. So there's parts in the show where you're just like, well, that was really jarring and very unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's usually, you know, this original play resonates with a lot of an older demographic.
Mm-hmm.
And they come into there, but it was so much fun for me as an audience member to watch them as soon as you guys entered and started like playing with people's hair. Cause I think I actually saw you were on my side where I was sitting. So you're playing with people's hair and like talking to everybody. And it was so entertaining for me to watch. It was like this breath was let out and mm-hmm. everybody was in the moment. They were taken back where they needed to be and just enjoying it. So that even the most shocking moments, which I won't say because it's so much fun to experience and hilarious.
Yes.
Everybody was laughing. There was nobody was upset because they already knew, you know, but they just had to be reminded of what the play was including and who these people were and how entertaining it was for them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what is it like to kind of, I mean, we talked about how fun it is to interact with the audience, but have you gotten any like pushback or have you felt that kind of love resonate as well?
I feel like as the shows go on, we felt more and more love. Like, there are some moments where you'll have people in the audience screaming at us, like not out of hate, no, out of love, but you know, interacting with us mm-hmm. is probably the better way to word it. But it's just like, you know, like we'll ask for something in the audience and they'll give it to us. You know, we'll ask for money and they'll be like, here's my card. Here's my credit card.
We did. We got an actual credit card one day. We did. We've gotten $20 bills.
Yeah.
We are like, we're going out tonight.
You should just start a collection, start posting it on Facebook and everything.
Like, that's to be picked up.
I think that's like encouraged. You know what I mean? I think this is the kind of show where you can really let loose and like interact with us.
Yeah.
You know, it's... the more that you have fun, the more we'll have fun.
Yeah.
And it's just a lot of fun.
I was super bummed I wasn't sitting on the edge, but I think my husband would have been so confused.
So, yeah.
Because he was just kind of like, I was just letting the experience happen organically, but I think he was just like, he was having fun watching the crowd because we like to crowd watch.
Some younger people come through to see the show also, which was really cool because like, I just wonder, because I saw the national tour when I was young, when I was like in high school, and obviously all the messages I didn't get clear, you know what I mean? Like all the forms of protests and all the stuff they were talking about. But then as I grow older and I realize a lot about a lot of things happening in the country, I obviously have a different take on it. And it's my second time doing the show, like I said before. So performing it with a different headspace, like a much more mature kind of mind, makes it more direct, you know, for me, I think. It makes it more poignant. It makes me want to, all the young people who come, I want to explore, like, I wonder what they, how they take in the show, you know what I mean? And I want to, I would love for, like, a lot of young people to come see it just because it, you know, resonates a lot with what's happening now. But, you know, what can, like, I just love giving information to younger people because I know that they can take, like, you know, a lot of young people are smart and they can take it and they can take it away and like pass along the message however they can.
Yeah.
I think it's important for all ages, you know what I mean, to see the show.
I agree completely. Yeah. That rings very true because there are, I really sometimes just feel like Jiva and the way that they choose the plays for each season, I'm like, are you telepathic? Can you see into the future? Because of how poignant every single one seems to be.
Yeah.
No matter what's going on, like all of a sudden you have something happen and you're like, but don't worry, there's a play for that. You know, it's so strange.
And I was looking at some of the shows for the rest of the season and I'm like, I wish I were here to see a lot of them.
I can't wait. I say this every podcast, we are so blessed to have the intelligence of Jiva in our community and how much fun it is to like see all these plays come. And the thing I was lamenting it the other day and really truly was like, when I see plays, usually they're the first time I see them. So like a Spamlot I never saw on Broadway. Mm-hmm. And most of them I don't see unless they're here. And the best part about each of these plays is it's like, you have to see it there because you can't just rewatch it somewhere else. You know, it's not a movie as much as I wish it was. Mm-hmm. And I get so bummed about that. And I'm like, I wish I could see that play again, but it'll never be the same. It'll never be the same thing twice. But I'm like, I just want to go back and relive that. So it's so cool to have Jiva because can we talk about how amazing the songs are in this play? It seriously sounded to me like, no lie, no exaggeration, I was like, was that really just a recording? Because it was so verbose. Everything about it was perfect. Everybody was on pitch. There was like no issues and everything fell into place so perfectly. I was like, I hope somebody's recording this because it was just so wonderful. Then it's such a true testament to how good you guys are together, how in sync you are, how wonderful the musicians are who are playing underneath, which I just want to go down there and see what
they
that's
are
like.
I'm not gonna lie.
They kill it every night and every night it gets better and better. Like, and I love that the show has structure, but then you can improvise off of that. Mm-hmm. And like, so listening to the band plays for some songs, I'm just like, ooh, like there's such just like an extra oomph to it that I love hearing. And I love hearing the details in the guitar, like the drums or something.
Can you feel it under the stage? Like, when you guys are on the stage? Probably not, but it's just, I'm curious as to how, like, can you hear them or how do you hear the music come through
the monitors?
Through the monitors.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, but I will say that I have one opportunity in the show where I actually end up with the band for a brief moment.
Yes, you do.
And that is a fun moment. Because that's, you know, an immersive experience. So, you know, I get myself prepared for the next moment and then I sit down there and jam out for the 30 seconds I have. And
that's so awesome.
Yeah, make a fool of myself.
Because Jeannie, like, comes out, she comes out from the floor at one point, which you guys have such entertaining characters throughout this play. And that's kind of what's really cool about it, is you kind of almost get lost as to almost who you are at a time. Mm-hmm. So David, you've got, you're in the ensemble and you play probably one of the two favorite characters that my husband and I loved.
Okay.
The two school.
The principal.
Yeah. On the swing.
He's so funny.
Rolling. We're just like, this is so good. It was because almost out of nowhere. And you're like, it was a total left turn. But we all have had an experience of like that with somebody, including a student like Berger and everybody to that extent. And it just, we were just having a ball. And you see, like, you can switch up who you are. And then Jeannie goes on to play all these, a lot of these different characters, very maternal people.
Yeah.
And, and you have, and there's like, there's almost, Jeannie is just her own presence on that show too. And so is every character you play is just out there as well. And you're just such very fun focal points, which I was like so excited to see you guys.
There's some parts that we have together, which is probably some of my favorite moments too.
Yes. David and I have a backstory that, you know, I guess I could share, but I might be giving something away.
That's up to you guys.
David is my potential, I'll put it that way, baby daddy.
Oh yeah,
it's true. Potential.
That's our backstory.
Like a theory behind, you know, how that comes about, and it's just through the organic like process that we created. We're just like,
all of a sudden we're like, we're together a lot on stage.
Yeah,
let's make this something
for that.
Let's make this something. Yeah. So,
but then there's also another character who's mentioned in the play. Who we don't see, but who could also be a potential.
Right.
I have lots of potential baby daddies.
But Jeannie was just about free love. Oh my God.
She was. It is so fun to, I mean, the men in the audience get such a kick out of it, because I walk out and they're like, who's the father? I'm like, oh, I don't know. Could be anyone.
Wow. Do they really ask you that?
Yeah, I have men that go, it wasn't me. I didn't do it.
Oh my God. And then they give you the credit card and they're like, just walk away.
It's so fun. It's so fun.
It is such a really, it is a fun play. Do you guys have a favorite scene or a song that you like to do? Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like everybody has to pick their favorite kid. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I think one of my favorite moments is definitely the opening. That's a given.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But I also love 3500 for some reason. I love singing. I love the power in that number, and like the words cut like
some
knives, and
it's so,
they're very
smartly
percussive
written.
And the way it's, I don't know. I love performing that song a lot for some reason.
That's my moment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 3500.
Yeah. I mean, you know, so a lot of act two is a trip and, you know, kind of the start of the trip, I get that like, oh, I love this section.
Oh, and then Walking in Space is also another favorite.
But 3500 is like that moment where you land in, this is what we're saying. Mm-hmm. It's really, to me, the first moment of, no, this is what this is about.
Right.
And it kind of sends us home. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, starting in that moment is like, oh, it just gives me goosebumps every night. And to get to share that.
I guess I didn't think about how it does send us home in a kind of way. Because like, I guess that's the moment of the trip where it gets kind of like too psychedelic, where you're just like, oh, okay, this is too real for me.
Yeah.
But then he wakes up and then that whole sends us home.
Yep.
The rest of the show. Absolutely.
Oh, I love it. I love hearing, every time I get to do these interviews, I love to ask, you know, the things that I would want to experience again going back into the show. And it would change, you know, it totally changes how I view everything and how I'd want to go back and view it. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love about these, because I want people to go out and experience this, you know, people of all ages, every person who can tune in, who listens. We have such a genuine treasure here with Jeeva, including, which I talk about every single time, but this time is even more special to me, because can we just discuss the stage setup? Because it is a childhood dream.
It's brilliant.
It's so cool. It's
How really is that to like play on every night? I would lose my mind. I think I would probably climb to the top, even though it's probably not safe. It doesn't matter. I would just climb up to the top.
There's pregnant a point where they told us not to go higher anymore. They're like,
I'd be up.
You actually fell off one night, didn't you?
I did. I didn't like fall off. I kind of slipped. which made me fall off. Yeah,
I think I think it was during my song. I was singing and I heard a bang, right, and I was like, I'm certain that's one of my cast members hitting the floor.
Shit, had to happen. All the signs fall too. That was like my feet falling on the signs. Yeah.
No, it's so fun. I mean, it's the thing that's so great about it is that it's like this total open space jungle gym.
Yeah.
But it's so specific within that. Mm-hmm. And so it really is this, I mean, I can't imagine the audience doesn't know exactly what they're in for when they walk into the theater.
Right.
I mean, it is so specific and clear and poignant in a way. Mm-hmm. And yet it gives us so much freedom. It's amazing. It's somehow the most non-specific set.
I guess that's the genius of Melissa, though, you know? Like, she knows exactly, like, she knew exactly.
And Adam, our set designer, is
brilliant. And also our set designer. I think my favorite thing about the set is how there are no wings, really. Which is such a weird thing to say, but, like, there are no wings.
No, it's true, because I noticed at one point, there's beanbags that are sitting on the side, like, just outside of the jungle gym, that dome thing.
And the cast is hanging out.
And they're hanging out there, sitting there. I was just like, just what hanging is going out, on?
Just chilling. Just watching the show.
And it was great. And it really, it just, again, there's just no, it really fits that whole format of the non-musical musical and the non-play play. Mm-hmm. And how you're just like, nope, it's just it's an event that's happening. And it's just.
Yeah, that's the world.
And every time, you know, we would set a scene on the stage and we would, you know, our actor brains would send us all into a formation. Melissa would be like, come down, get into the audience, come sit on the stair. You know, she made sure that we were constantly, you know, one with the audience.
Yeah. And, I guess, like, I was going to say infiltrated, but like, you know, pouring through the audience, like, because the stage isn't just the stage. Like, our stage is literally the whole theater.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It really is. Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
Yeah. And there have been only a handful of plays that have ever really been that immersive. Mm-hmm. And I think this is probably my favorite one to watch, though, because before the music even starts, you know what you're in for, like you said. And the fact that they can build what they do inside of a theater just blows my mind. They built houses there.
It's amazing.
And I just love everything about it. And for this one, I was like, I have to get a picture of this. They're like, no cell phones. And I'm like sitting there in the corner, hiding it under my jacket. Like, I'm just going to take this picture.
And that's the other genius of Jiva. Like, I mean, I literally feel like I could just live at Jiva all year round,
right?
And be a very happy, fulfilled person.
If they let me
stay, I will stay. Yeah. But it's the genius. It's like the every person that they bring in to build this, like, this show from the ground up, whether it's the sound designer that makes the music, to the band, to Adam designing our sets, to Melissa, to this cast. I mean, every person is there for a reason. They are so smart in how they create a team. I mean, it is.
It's nothing like I've ever seen before. And I'm
really,
this
special.
Is my first like equity contract. So I'm still learning about the business and how things are run. And I've done other shows with equity actors in it. And I see how, you know, we get treated and all this stuff. But like, Jiva's
going to spoil you. They're the new standard.
Absolutely.
It's so unreal.
Absolutely. We are so spoiled.
I love it. It is so, it's so much fun. Do you guys have anything else you want to let the audience know about, you know, this phenomenal play? I feel like we've touched on everything I had to a question about, because it's just, it was just such a fun play to experience. And then, I mean, at the ending, I just cried, which I didn't expect, because all of a sudden you're just hit with the reality of, you know, what exists outside of the love and where people go and how, you know, that's what we have outside of the doors too.
Yeah.
And it hit me so hard. And when Let the Sun Shine In, I was like, oh wow. I did not expect any of that in any part of it. And I think that was kind of where the romance is a little lost, not lost, but is no longer the forefront and it becomes the reality of it. And I never really listened to the song until that moment. Mm-hmm. And so it just hit me in such a different way as an adult and as a soon to be mom. It just kind of blew my mind a little.
Yeah.
I think the beauty of the show is that you can come and have whatever experience you choose to have. If you want to come and listen to really good music and really good singers and have a dance party and leave with, you know, Let the Sun Shine In stuck in your head, then it's the show for you.
Right.
If you want to come as someone who is aware of what's happening in this climate and how it parallels the 1960s,
yeah,
1970s. I mean, that's just as important. It's so unique in that way. Mm-hmm. Every audience member can have whatever experience they need or want to have.
Absolutely.
When they come to see the show.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is probably one of the most true plays that you can do that in. Mm-hmm. And have just absolutely whatever, yeah,
yep,
your pure interpretation of,
yeah,
what you're going into.
Yep. Yeah.
And it's so, I have a newfound love and appreciation for this play and this story. And so I was Googling like every song I could find that was, mm-hmm, live. And I was like, none of these sound as good as the cast I just saw. It's like, this is terrible. I want to find the other ones.
Are
like
you
the
saying, full broad. Yes. Are you saying that maybe we should have a cast recording?
Yes, I am saying that. Again, Don, let's do a pop-up concert. Pop up play somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh man. Thank you guys so much for coming in. I really appreciate it, David.
Thanks for having
and
us.
Lawson. I just have the best time watching you guys. It sounds almost voyeuristic and creepy to say, but it's the truth. you guys are actors, so you've got to be used to that.
Yeah.
But it was such a fun time.
Come
I
back
had
if
such
you can
a ball.
Please come back.
I would love to have to see if the baby schedules work out. Oh. So thank you again. Go out and see Hair at Jiva. It is on stage until October 7th. Get your tickets at jivatheater.org. And of course, keep tuning in for more of the plays throughout the rest of this season, as much as Baby Again will allow. But I really appreciate you guys coming in. And thank you for gracing Rochester with your presence. And
thank you.
I hope Rochester's treating you well. And if it's not, let me know. We'll take care of some people. So until the next time, toodles.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.